Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, our ever-present rock and refuge, our eternal light and true salvation, give us such sincere faith in you that we may always fix our eyes on you at any time and with any need. Amen. Do any of you recall the type of destruction and devastation that occurred after Hurricane Katrina hit in 2005? Some of you may not recall this, but some of us do. Also, the devastation that occurred on our campus when we were hit with a tornado in 2001. If you're not aware of either of those two, then you may be better acquainted with the damage that Hurricane Sandy came up with, as well as the tornadoes most recently, a summer or two in Oklahoma City. I can't believe it, but it was 10 years ago this year that I went with a group of students to help those distressed after Hurricane Katrina. And one day they took us out near Louisiana, near New Orleans to Lake Pontchartrain to just see the damage that came directly to those homes by the wind and the water. And it was incredible to witness what high-speed winds could do. In today's reading, that fear of death brushed by these disciples as they were victimized by a very, very fierce storm on the Sea of Galilee. And the storm was so life-threatening that these men, many of them, were well-experienced on the water. They were fishermen. They'd been on the Sea of Galilee a number of different times. But it was so strong that they went to wake up Jesus, who was sleeping in the stern. And what they received from him was so incredible that they were nearly left speechless. Who is this that even the winds and the waters obey him? The Son of God reveals his omnipotence and his power, and the disciples confessed him as the Lord of all creation. And this text and this account, which we reflect on this morning, is so important that not only does Luke record it, but so do St. Matthew and St. Mark. And where is Jesus in the midst of the storm? Sleeping. Sleeping calmly. Yet he awakens from his sleep to serve his disciples in their dire need. And Jesus speaks to the waves, and he muzzles them up, is what the Greek text would have us understand. So who could do that? Only the Lord of creation. In Genesis 1, we're told how the Father created everything and the Holy Spirit was hovering upon the waters, and then God spoke to create things. That word is Jesus Christ. And St. John reveals in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. St. Paul adds in Colossians, for by him, that is by Christ, all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, all things were created by him and for him. Everything which the Father created took place through his Son, Jesus. So he, as the Lord, can and does control nature. But since the fall into sin, we not only have Adam and Eve been affected by sin and people, but so have plants, animals, ground, soil, and yes, even the weather. That's why St. Paul says, the whole creation groans and has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, up to the present time. And so here we are, just like those disciples in the boat, fearful and frightened. We may not fear a storm or a tornado, but we just might fear that Greek final that Dr. Nordling's going to give us. Or we might fear a final grade in a course. We might fear that we'll lose that loved one who is battling cancer. We fear that our relationships are overstretched or breaking. We might feel that we're up to our eyeballs in debt, and we're not sure how we're going to pay for school or for a number of different things. You name it. You place the fear in there. We have fear for numerous reasons. But this text tells us not to fear. And why? Because the Lord of creation is also the Lord of your life. And not only does he provide you with all that you need daily with provision, but he provides it not only for you, but he provides it for the entire world. And beyond making the world, this Lord of creation comes to redeem the world. Jesus came to die, extended his arms, and died painfully on the cross. And his blood was shed for you. But it was also shed for the world. And his blood was shed for all of creation. His blood poured on the earth, on the ground from which Adam was given birth. Therefore, Jesus made payment to set free not only you, not only all of mankind, but all creation, all of nature from captivity and sin. So mindful of that, Jesus promised to provide for you in numerous ways. He provides you daily provision, sustenance, a place to sleep, a place to rest your head. He provides you with food so that you do not need to worry about where your next meal will come from. Sure, you might pick up groceries at Kroger or at the grocery store, or you might pick up food at the food co-op to provide for your family. But who is the one behind all of that? Christ Jesus, the one who provides for all of your daily needs. And he asks you, when you do feel the stress of those times, this question: where is your faith? Trust in me at all times. Jesus is your Lord, and he's your rock, and he's your Redeemer. And the one who stopped the storm promises to do the same for you and promises to provide for you day after day after day. So just as it is no coincidence to hear on the Weather Channel how people survived a tornado either in a weird place in a building or why the tornado didn't strike them, so it is no coincidence that he cares for you every single day. Jesus is not sleeping in the bow of the boat. In fact, he hears you whenever you cry, and he never sleeps. And in fact, he intercedes to the Father on your behalf. He arises when we cry out. He hears your cries, and he arises to bring a great peace and a great calm, to rescue you from every storm of worry or anxiety. As his baptized child, remember, you are his, and he is yours, never allowing you to falter, fail, or sink. Confess him now as the Lord of creation and the Lord of your life. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.